Playwright David Lindsay Abaire won a Pulitzer Prize for Rabbit Hole. That was the play turned into a film about a family dealing with that most devastating of losses. Their 4-year-old son is killed in a car accident. In his new work, Good People, the losses are far, far, far less acute, but they're like a dripping faucet. They just don't stop. In this scene, Margie, a 50-something from South Boston, flares up at Mikey, her old high school flame. He's now a successful doctor. She's struggling just to hold on to minimum wage jobs while paying friends to take care of her adult, mentally disabled daughter. He says her struggle is because of bad choices. She says sometimes it's just because you lose a car.
Why did I lose my car? Because I missed a payment. Why did I miss a payment? Because I had to pay a dentist instead. Why did I have to pay a dentist? No, I have done this 100 times in my head, Mikey. I think you should hear it too. Why did I have to pay a dentist? Because I didn't have insurance and I cracked a tooth. And I ignored that for 6 months until an abscess formed. Why'd I crack a tooth?
I don't care.
Because one night I thought I'd save a little money and skip dinner, but I got hungry, so I snacked on a piece of candy brittle instead. And that is all it took. One piece of candy brittle, and I was out of a job again.
Frances McDormand and Tate Donovan from the new Broadway play Good People. It's sprinkled liberally with language familiar to people who live in South Boston. Mouthy from Southie, lace curtain Irish. That's because David Lindsay Abaire was born and grew up in the neighborhood that was the setting for the forced busing crisis of the 70s and has more recently gone through a lot of gentrification. And he joins us now from the Argo Network studios in New York. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Do you know a Margie?
Not specifically. I know many, many women and men, too, that are very similar to Margie.
Yeah. And how would you characterize that?
She's someone who's was born in the neighborhood, who's never left the neighborhood, who's had trouble escaping her minimum wage jobs and her circumstances, but continues to work as hard as she can in the face of extreme adversity.
Fierce, almost. You have to say fierce. And how about a
she
Mike?
Is fierce.
Are you a Mike?
Yeah, I'm a lot like Mike. I don't share the same views of the neighborhood that he does. I mean, certainly I, quote-unquote, escaped the neighborhood, whatever that means. I'm no longer there. I received a scholarship to a private school when I was 11 years old and went on to college and got a very good education and now living in New York City and living a life of a playwright. That's not a common thing for a lot of people from Southie. And the Mike character is somebody who has left the neighborhood and went to college and became a successful doctor. But I think the biggest difference between us is he's fairly ambivalent about the neighborhood. And while he romanticizes his past, he also wants to deny it a little bit and doesn't feel that luck played any role in his trajectory out of the neighborhood, whereas I feel incredibly proud of being from Southie and feel that luck played every part in my trajectory out of the neighborhood.
Right. Well, he's almost maybe afraid that he might be pulled back. This addresses something that, as you say, Americans don't usually address, which is class. Tell us more about that.
Well, it was certainly the main thing that I wanted to write about. As an American playwright, I kept hearing over and over again that Brits are the people that write about class. The British playwrights write so many plays about, where are the American plays about class, new American plays about class? I had been wanting to write about Southie for a long, long time and felt finally mature enough, both as a person and as a writer, to do that. And I thought, well, if I'm going to write about Southie, inevitably it's going to become about class because I was aware of it for every day of my life, yeah. Certainly when I was in Southie. And then when I went to that private school, I was put down into a world that was incredibly different from the world that I had come from and shuttled between the two every day. I also, you know, knowing the people that I know from the neighborhood, I do think there is this American myth that anybody can accomplish anything if they just right. work hard enough. And I don't think that that's necessarily true. I think certainly you have to work hard enough to achieve any kind of success, but you also need luck, you need opportunity, and you need the life skills to recognize those things when they come along, and not everybody has that.
Yeah. Well, let's give a little bit of the synopsis here. Margie has lost her most recent job at the dollar store. She's going to lose her apartment. So she looks up Mikey, who, as we've said, is obviously uncomfortable at seeing her, but she talks her way into his birthday party at, you know, in an upscale neighborhood. The party's called off, but she shows up anyway and meets Mikey's wife, Kate, who, you know, they have all this cheese that they were delivered for the party they had to cancel because their child is sick. And she offers Margie a cheese plate, and she's a little at sea. Let's listen.
What's this one? That's Humboldt Fog, which is a goat. Cheese. Okay. And this one? Epoisse, which is a French cow's milk. It's very good.
Well,
She's very much a fish out of water walking. The doctor's house is in Chestnut Hill, and she's never been to Chestnut Hill, and she's never been put in front of a platter of cheese like that. So a lot of the comedy and the tensions as well come from how different these people are.
Yeah, but you know the title of the play. Let's stay with Margie to start. Is she a good person?
I'm not sure how to answer that, frankly, because it's, I think, the main question that the play asks. What is a good person? What makes a good person? Obviously, the phrase, he's good people or she's good people, is incredibly common in Southie and usually describes the salt of the earth, the people that are good to be around and behave properly. And I think all the characters in this play define themselves as being good people. And what happens in the course of the play is that phrase is sort of turned on its ear a little bit and used ironically, and everybody needs to reassess whether, in fact, who they are and what they've done is good, and are they or are they not good people?
Yeah. Let's listen to a scene in which Mikey's wife has left the room, I think to get the cheese plate, and he's explaining to Margie he doesn't want his wife to know that they used to date.
We're in a really good place right now, and I don't want to...
stir anything up.
Exactly.
What'd you do?
Nothing.
Well, we're in a really good place right now.
Yeah.
Which means at some point you weren't.
Margaret.
What'd you do?
Nothing.
It involves that Dominican receptionist, doesn't it?
And then Mikey, you know, is he a good person?
Well, again, that's the question of the play. I hope everyone can empathize with and relate to these people. Nobody in the play is a villain and nobody is a saint by any means. And this is a guy that, yes, has escaped his neighborhood and worked incredibly hard to have a great life and volunteers at the Boys and Girls Club and, you know, is on boards and donates money. He does all sorts of good things. And at the same time, he is in denial about a lot of things in his life and ambivalent about things that he maybe shouldn't be so ambivalent about. The main thing is whether the characters are good or bad. I hope they're human and truthful, and I think none of us are without fault, and neither are the characters in the play.
Is this a conversation you hear when you go home, either a resentment of or an explicit admiration for the lace curtain Irish who moved up, you know, and out?
The answer is yes to both of those questions. That's why it's such a complicated phrase and why it is met with complicated responses in the play. You know, it's mostly used as a term of derision from people that stayed in the neighborhood and resent the people that got out of the neighborhood and who they think that they are better than other people. At the same time, underneath that, of course, there's an admiration and an envy about the people that did well.
Right. Well, and then there's such sadness behind the bite. At one point, Margie talks to Mike, again, the wife has left the room, about what would have happened if he hadn't left and they'd stayed together. Let's listen.
It's good you got out, right?
I guess.
Do you ever wonder what would have happened if you hadn't, though?
What do you mean?
If you hadn't been going off to UPenn, you think we would have stayed together?
Christ, Margie, let's not do this. She's coming right back.
You haven't wondered that?
Come on, it was a summer thing. Kids have those. I'm sure you had them after me.
Not really.
So, David Lindsay Aubert, look, South Boston is a very different place now. Up against public housing, there are beautiful, expensive condos. A successful playwright, you know, might want one there. But do you wonder what your life would have been like if you'd stayed in Southie?
Oh, every day I do, yeah, of course, no question. I don't know what it would have been, but I can't imagine that I'd be in New York City writing plays for a living.
Yeah. David Lindsay Aubert is the author of the acclaimed play Good People. It's at the Samuel J. Freeman Theater in New York, getting terrific reviews. David, thanks so much for speaking to us about it.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.